Jim Taylor back on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. We get a chance today to visit with Monmouth College political science professor Robin Johnson. And as we follow the political process next week, the Iowa caucuses taking place. And I guess, sir, as we begin our conversation today, what are some of the key elements you are looking into heading into the caucus, which takes place next Monday in Iowa?
Well, one, quite frankly, will be the weather. Because caucuses are different from primaries. In Illinois, we vote, have secret ballot, and we go vote. A caucus is different. It'll be a meeting that begins at night, 7 o'clock, and it could take an hour, 2 hours, depending on how long the business aspect of the meeting takes place. And a caucus is where you have to stand up and be counted, where everybody knows how you who you're supporting. But the weather is critical, because if it's really cold, that could keep some people, like senior citizens, from getting out, and that may affect support for different candidates. So weather is a factor. Also, the organization is critical. While TV ads are important, as I'm sure a lot of your listeners know from watching them, that are targeted for voters across the river, in Iowa, in caucuses, organization is at a premium to make sure people show up at a caucus on a cold night and wait and then have their voice be heard. So I think the weather is important, and what I've last seen is that it's supposed to be actually mild for early February, 41 degrees. And then which campaigns have the best organization to get their supporters out and to these sites? Those are the most important things.
And then those potential Democratic voters, in terms of what they have to ponder, that they may favor a candidate that they'd like to see move forward, but then they must also realize, well, of these candidates, who is the best to actually take a run at or beat Trump in the general election? What is the fine line, I guess, between that balance for the caucus goer, the Democratic caucus goer, in terms of selecting a candidate?
Yeah, supposedly the number one factor in how people will be deciding is the ability to beat Donald Trump. So voters have to weigh if they got a candidate they really, really like, who seems perhaps more on the ideological extreme, or isn't very competitive right now, say Michael Bennett or John Delaney. Do they really want to try to caucus for that person, or do they want to go with somebody they think they can win? Some of the more moderate candidates are ones that most folks feel have a better shot. That would be Klobuchar, Biden, Buttigieg, perhaps. But it's interesting, in Iowa, they have a threshold where if the candidate supporters don't reach 15% of those present in each caucus, they can then either they can go home, or they can go caucus for another candidate, their second choice. So that may come into play where they get to shift a little bit, and that could have an impact on how things go. But it'll be interesting to see if people go with their ideological preference or their thought on who is best able to beat the president.
Well, and then also in February, I know there are primaries or caucuses in New Hampshire, Nevada, and South Carolina. So you look at today's digital society and how fluid things are. Is this caucus in Iowa as big a deal as it once was, if you understand what I'm saying? Just with how fluid things change when you talk about, you know, February 3rd to early November when the general election takes place, and how social media is such a big thing, and that the narrative can change so quickly among all these candidates. Is it so? I guess, long story short, is this thing still as big as it once was?
I think it is. It's the first, and it sets, at least for a week, it sets a tone on the campaign moving forward. because so many candidates could be viable out of this. Usually, Jim, there's three tickets punched to move to the next round. This time, it could be as many as five. And they're all going to be, they could be all bunched up together. What could happen is, and I think there's a decent chance of this, is that one candidate here, even in the last week, rises up and perhaps wins by, say, a minimum of 5 points to give a clear preference out of the state moving forward. If that happens, then that might be a bigger story. But if it happens the way the polls are going right now, it might be, as you say, where you've got three or four candidates muddled all around the same percentage. It'll be like, okay, it's a mixed split decision. We go on to New Hampshire. Then the role of Iowa will be a little less, I think, this time.
You know, it's interesting as we wrap up here talking with Robin Johnson, political science professor at Monmouth College, talking about the February 3rd caucuses in Iowa. I was interviewing Western Illinois Congresswoman Sherry Bustos a couple weeks ago, and, of course, she won in a district that supported Trump in the last presidential election. And I asked her, what message do these candidates need to get out in terms of those districts where Donald Trump won to reverse the trend? And she had indicated, I don't know if I'm hearing that right now, because she's declining to endorse any candidate. She's letting the process play out through the March primary in Illinois. Now, as you size up this caucus in Iowa, do you think the Democratic contingent here that's running still for president, are they getting the message out in the heartland, you think?
I think so. Iowa had more counties than any state in the nation that voted for Barack Obama twice and then voted for Donald Trump, 31 of them. A lot of them are right along the Mississippi River, on the other side of the river. So candidates have been very vigilant about trying to appeal to these voters. The best estimates are 9% of the Obama voters who voted for Obama twice voted for Trump. And again, a lot of them was right here in the Midwest and in Iowa. These candidates have been reaching out to try to get them back into the fold. So I know I've read where Pete Buttigieg is focusing his campaign on the last days of trying to reach out in those counties. So I think they're making an effort to do that. We'll see how many of these folks stay with the president. Any that kind of break off could, of course, be a major factor in the race in November. So we'll see what happens. But I think the party, the Democrats, have been aware of that and tried to reach out there. And also in rural areas where they've struggled in the last couple cycles, they have seemed to be paying more attention to rural areas like places like where we live.
And then, as we wrap up here, you're kind of using this as a learning process for some of your students, right? You're going to attend one of the caucuses next week, is that right?
Yeah. My campaign methods class will be going over to Burlington High School, and we're going to be observing a precinct caucus. We did 4 years ago as well when both parties had active nomination processes. So we'll be observing firsthand and see what a caucus is like. I also took some of my students from class over to witness a town hall event last Friday by candidate Andrew Yang. So being close to Iowa has such advantages to allow students to see firsthand what's going on.
All right, Robin Johnson, political science professor at Monmouth College, talking about the Iowa caucuses coming up next Monday on WRMJ, WRMJ.com.